Welcome back to the Bruce Salen Show, a dad's point of view on KZSB AM 1290, the Santa Barbara News Press radio station. My show is broadcast live every Thursday at 11 a.m., and it's rebroadcast every Thursday evening at 9 p.m., and again on Saturdays at noon. You can email me at bruce@brucesalen.com. That's Bruce and Salen, S-A-L-L-A-N.com. You can also tweet me at Bruce Salen. This is our special edition show with Pastor Drew Sams, and our topic is addiction. It's a serious topic and one that I hope you will take seriously. We have online a very special guest, Jackson Souza. Mr. Souza specializes in treating sexual addiction as well as other process addiction disorders. He received his Bachelor of Science degree from Northeastern University and obtained a graduate degree from the University of Santa Monica, where he was honored as Student of the Year. Jackson teaches psychopharmacology and process addictions at Cal Lutheran University and holds a California Drug and Alcohol Educator License. Welcome to our show, Mr. Souza.
Thank you, Bruce. Hey, Drew, how you doing?
I'm well, Jackson. Thanks so much for calling in.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure.
Now, you've been teaching for a few years before you were actually teaching in Santa Barbara, is that correct?
Yeah, I've been teaching at Santa Barbara City College for five, this is my fifth year, and I've been teaching this past year at the Graduate Psychology Department at Cal Lutheran University, where I've been teaching psychopharmacology and actually substance dependencies.
So you might have just a few words of wisdom to offer us, huh?
I hope so.
Well, I'd like to start with asking you a fundamental question, which
sure.
is, when does addiction begin? How old can it start?
Well, addiction shows up primarily with a criteria. So there's an understanding that we might look at in terms of, let's say, tolerance change and withdrawal. Now, that age could be high school, it could be younger, and there's all kinds of statistics that reflect those numbers.
Now, Jackson, from your training and now in your teaching and your practice, have you noticed the age of addiction getting younger, or is that kind of hovering around the same number? What's your experience been?
Well, it's specifically, we do have some numbers on it that actually comes out of Columbia. They have an addiction study program and department there. And there is some, again, alcohol is still one of the most dominant agents that adolescents use and they use throughout their lifetime. We see an increase in OxyContin. We saw a decrease recently in marijuana, increase in OxyContin.
Okay, forgive me. What is OxyContin?
OxyContin is an opioid, kind of very similar to heroin, methadone.
Is that pills?
It does come in pill form.
Goes to show you how dumb I am. I'd never even heard of that.
And we also see a whole increase around, let's say, prescription medications. So let's say Ativan, which is an anti-anxiety agent, Xanax. So medications that might be, let's say, have a lot of access in a home environment.
Same thing applies, obviously, to alcohol, which is prevalent in so many homes.
Yes.
But how is taking Ativan, as an example, how is that addictive or destructive to a young person?
Well, let's say if you were taking Ativan along with alcohol, which is really what people would be doing, it has what's called a synergistic or potentiating effect. So in other words, one and one is four. The mechanism of action, meaning the actual way Ativan or these benzodiazepines work, is very similar to how alcohol works. And so it increases the impact significantly.
How do the kids find this out? Is it all from other kids?
Well, there's so many sites online. First of all, yes, that's certainly one. They also see it modeled in the home. So if a family is having, let's say, stress or anxiety, and they see their primary caregivers, mom and dad, managing their stress and anxiety with Ativan or alcohol, that's certainly one influence. Also, their peers, their contemporaries, all those influences are very significant, and with the onset of access to the internet, all that information is online. You could see it on YouTube.
You mean how to...
What doses to take, what is some... They'll have a young person talking about it. I mean, it's very well... There's so much public information about it that kids have access to today.
Hmm.
Not always in the most healthiest ways. Not talking about the consequences or the negative impact it might have on their life, but more, you know, just the access to it.
And how much fun it is.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. I mean, I'm ironically bookending our show with songs that deal with drug addiction, and we certainly know how the media has played an impact, which Pastor Drew discussed in the first segment, in influencing our kids by either minimizing or glorifying the effects of drugs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I agree.
Cutting really from the influences and how old and all that, to really the chase. As a parent, the aside from trying to prevent their use in the first place, the next place I would immediately go is what works, and is there anything that works more effectively than something else as treatment?
Well, the issue has been primarily, you know, all the, let's say, the information-based programs. There's a certain level of frustration that's associated with them. You know, they suffer from underskilled teachers or trainers, and they're not always appropriate to the developmental levels of the targeted students.
Are you talking about things that would be in their schools, or public schools?
Exactly, in the school system. So as as parents, some of the more useful things that as a parent, and I am a parent of an adolescent, would be to learn or to demonstrate how to adjust through socially acceptable behavior, decision-making, problem-solving, esteem-building areas is one of the more significant things we've seen. For parents, being able to cope, have better coping skills, taking parenting classes, stress management, even breathing classes. So where the parents are actually modeling how to manage stress or anxiety, because we see that two of the biggest triggers for youth, for adolescents, are boredom and anxiety. So when both of these two triggers present, the modeling that they've seen in the past has been when uncomfortable feelings come up, they'll just naturally do something to mood alter.
I could go on forever with you because you're offering such important is the modeling. The image I always have is of the parent that's holding a martini while they're telling their kid the dangers of drinking. So it's to think that our children do not see what we're doing, mm-hmm, is to be really naive.
Yeah, I agree. You know, there's an old adage which says, where you live, you learn. What you learn, you practice, and what you practice, you become. And then so much of that really stems from our early formative years, early adolescent years, what we see modeled in the home environment.
Well, sadly, we are out of time.
Okay.
I could have filled this whole hour with all that you had to offer. I want to thank you so much for being a guest on our show, our special addiction show.
Bruce, thank you.
Yeah, no, it's been very, very helpful. And it's unfortunately time for another break. You are listening to a special edition of the Bruce Allen Show, A Dad's Point of View, this one about addiction. And we're on KZSB AM 1290, the Santa Barbara News Press radio station.
Skies. Somebody calls you, you answer quite slowly. A girl with kaleidoscope eyes.